Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the program. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We welcome you to the show as we are off and running on the 17th of June, 2024. Our program coming up now, well, we're at the almost 13 and a half years with our radio program. We come to you from the Green Thing Zilkalo Village studio on the growing Bustos media presence. We've got five radio stations now under one roof. The latest is The Drive, a very popular station. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local, live local news and talk on the radio. We have our worldwide live listening on my website. That means you can hear our program anywhere in the world by going to buckmastershow.com, where we take the live feed. Piggyback the feed from KVOI.com. BuckmasterShow.com, the place for all of our podcasts. We make sure we get those podcasts up usually by about 5 or 6 in the afternoon. The Buckmaster Show live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Monday, we do our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. That's a way of saying Moe will make house calls and make sure that what you want up on the wall goes where it should be and you know, isn't all tilted, and he'll make sure it's exactly right. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. They're in that Copenhagen little center over there, which now is home to Monsoon Chocolate. So that gives me another reason to go by and visit Mo and his family. Our Monday one-on-one guest this week, Joe Ferguson. Joe, Deputy Court Administrator in Green Valley Justice Court, where their new DUI treatment court has become a national model. Hey, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure to see you. I think this story, before we even talk about what the program is, when people hear Green Valley Justice Court, they think we're dealing with the footprint is probably a lot smaller than people would imagine.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of a misnomer. We're approximately 1,500 square miles. Our jurisdiction stretches down to the border at Sasebo and goes all the way out to Sonoyta and to Vail. So, you know, we cover a very large area in addition to just Green Valley. So we have a lot of defendants that come in throughout the county. And so this program, helps a lot of people, not just people in Green Valley.
And it's a diverse program and as far as age.
Yeah, no, we have people
all walks of life.
Yep, yeah. We have people in their 20s. We've got people in their 60s. We've got people who are working. We've got fathers, mothers. You know, we've got a little bit of everything. It's a good cross-section of our community.
So, and just a quick word about how in Pima County we do designate the justice courts.
So, I mean, their justice courts, there are 9 precincts here in there. As a former constable, I was in one of those precincts for a little bit. And so there are 7 of those precincts are part of consolidated justice court here in downtown Tucson. And then there is Ajo and Green Valley making up the other 2 precincts. And so Ajo is covers their own area. It's a very large area as well and has a very diverse population to boot. But, that's what it looks like. So there's 7 in downtown Tucson, and then 1 in Green Valley and 1 in Ajo.
So what is the DUI treatment court? I mean, we all know driving while under the influence, but what is the treatment court, and how is it different than previously DUI was handled by the court?
So I think that, you know, we were able to, in cooperation with the county attorney's office, create a new program that offered intensive treatment that is community monitored for people who have got their first time DUI that were not involved in any kind of serious accident. Nobody was hurt. And so we offered this program in conjunction with that, where they agreed voluntarily to 6 months of drug testing, group therapy, individualized therapy, coming before the judge, meeting with me as the court liaison, just to try to have recovery. The idea of spending 6 months sober, Bill, it changes people's lives and their outlooks. Once you dedicate yourself to that, you become a different person. And I've been able to watch this blossom over and over again in conjunction with Kristen Randall, the court administrator, who was the architect of this program, and, you know, the heart of the program, Judge Carroll, who really, you know, speaks to these people and goes out of his way to really help them. Both him and myself have worked weekends and nights with these people to try to keep them on the path and help them graduate. We are very lucky and proud to say that we've already graduated several people from the program, and we've got more on the way. And so it's a lot different because we address the root issue. So some of these people don't realize that they have substance and alcohol abuse issues until they're deep into our program. They've been sober for a month. They've been going to AA meetings. They've been talking to a psychologist, and they're learning, you know, that this is a bigger problem than just being pulled over. That the night they got pulled over with a DUI was just the start, but it wasn't the actual issue.
And had so, they been driving while under the influence before they'd been pulled over?
National statistics, National statistics tell us that in urban areas, it's 70 to 80 times they've driven before they got caught.
Wow.
And in rural areas, the number is even larger just because of the geographic and law enforcement aspects of that area. You know, they go the back roads home so that they don't get caught. And so we want to break that cycle. We want them to be 6 months, be sober, and it makes our community safer that way. And long term, you know, we know that these programs work in other states and lowers the recidivism in terms of the chances that they're going to do this again.
So what would what is the treatment? Your program is kind of unique, and what's being done for people with DUI before this?
I think that,
and is currently being done in other places, sir.
So, I think that it's very common that, you know, there are kind of different levels of DUIs, and some people hire lawyers and they go to court and they go to, you know, they get plea deals, and so some of them are able to do that, but there is a vast majority of people who don't have that kind of access to justice, and they take plea deals, which include breathalyzer machines, and they have to take classes, and they have to pay fines and fees. And these things are, you know, designed to be preventative and to actually make sure they don't do it again. But I've got a stack of files in my office of people who stopped paying those fees, stopped paying those fines. Now they have warrants out for their arrests, and the problem grows worse. This is hopefully a better way that we can help some of those people address their root issues and not have to go through, you know, paying fines for the next 3 years and having a breathalyzer that they're renting in their car, you know, for the time being.
Does Arizona have a pretty rigorous DUI laws compared to the rest of the country, Joe Ferguson?
You know, they absolutely have a very strenuous program, and, you know, it's very hard on people in terms of, you know, trying to act as a deterrent. But for people who have a problem, it's never going to be enough to defer them from doing it. So the laws are very tough on the books.
1/3 of all drivers arrested for drunk driving are repeat offenders.
Yeah. We brought somebody into our program to act as a motivational speaker maybe 2 months ago. He had 37 DUIs. He spent time in prison, and, you know, it wasn't a deterrent for that person. You know, they're hopefully on the right path now, but, you know, it took most of their life to realize that they had a problem, and they kept going out again and again and again.
So there was, I think it was called HB 2673, passed the legislature and was signed into law, right?
Yep.
And that gave local jurisdictions like your operation in Green Valley more discretion in how the DUI cases are managed?
Correct. And so
it opened the door for what you're able to do.
Yeah, we couldn't do that without that law change. And it wasn't one that we asked for. It was just one that we were able to capitalize on. Prior to that, there had to be some kind of deficiency in the case that would allow the case to be pled down or dismissed. Otherwise, they had to move forward with it. And that often meant trials. That often meant, you know, a long period period of time of, you know, just resolving that in the legal system. This, on the other hand, is a good diversion program from those kind of long case fights.
And I'm looking at a picture here of your one of your graduating classes. This is a these are not, you know, we say Green Valley.
Yeah.
We're not talking about like folks over that you're primarily serving people over 60. These are young people.
I've got several people that are much younger than I am, and you know, I got to tell you that it's great that we can help some of these people. They have their whole lives ahead of themselves. The graduate you were talking about, you know, we spent the last few weeks before he graduated. He was talking about getting a new job. He was so excited about what this unlocked for him in terms of his potential and his future. And, you know, we're going to keep in contact with all of them, but, you know, we're bullish on the fact that we're helping people, you know, get this off the record and have a chance for a better job, a better future, and, you know, be able to take this kind of small setback and come back with a big comeback, as Judge Carroll likes to say.
So you have currently 20 people enrolled?
We have roughly 20 people.
And you've graduated how many so far?
We did three, and I'm expecting to graduate two more next month.
And I'm sure you're going to follow up with those that graduate, right?
Yeah.
See how it's going.
Yeah, part of the program is to do a long-term stay in contact with these people, monitor them, talk to them about the program. I'm not going to say who, but I'm going to ask somebody to serve on our advisory board. But, I mean, we want to keep in contact with them. We want to see how they're doing a year or 3 years from now.
So the program's had a 100% success rate. Has anyone dropped out?
No.
No one dropped out?
No, we're not going to. We don't let people fail. We work with them. We've had to have some real tough love in this program. And so, you know, some people had one person had to go into rehab. I've got somebody who is on a medication that helps with the cravings for alcohol. But the idea is to treat them and to help them find a way to live and get into recovery, not just sobriety, but recovery.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Joe Ferguson is the deputy court administrator in Green Valley, the Green Valley DUI court. And we'll talk more with Joe after we take a break. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the green thing is Zocalo Village Studios talking. It is our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We've been talking, our one-on-one guest today, Deputy Court Administrator Joe Ferguson. We're talking about a very innovative program, Green Valley DUI Court. The program has really become now a national model, tailored to suit the needs of its residents, with a focus on those that are high risk, high need, and most likely to reoffend. Joe, let me ask you about spreading the word about this program. Obviously, programs like this help, but other jurisdictions, are they looking at it? Are they interested? Is the city interested?
Yep.
On and on.
So we've had some really good conversations with Paul Cunningham's office about maybe expanding this program. He's been very supportive. And so we've had some talks at the city preliminarily about it. And then I've spoken to Judge Piscata over at Consolidated Court, and she's been talking to the administration about maybe a similar program as well. Additionally, Judge Carroll and the court administrator Randall went to the treatment conference in Prescott, and they did a whole presentation for the entire state about how to replicate this program in any of the communities here in Arizona.
How it's considered a diversion program?
I think that that's a fair way to say it. Yeah. Certainly we can't offer it to everybody, but yeah, for first-time offenders, you know, it's certainly an option. It's a voluntary program. They have to agree to want to be part of it, and they also have to qualify for it. There are some things that, you know, we just have to be able to say no to in terms of, you know, they wouldn't be a good fit for the program. You know, it's unfortunate. We are looking for grant funding to try to expand and lower those barriers, but there are some barriers someplace at this time.
So the vetting process must be extensive.
It is. Certainly, we have both the county attorney's office and my office do separate vettings, but I sit down with them. They have to do a 20-minute assessment where I ask some very tough and hard questions, so I understand a little bit about whether or not they are likely to be high-risk or high-need candidates for the program.
How does it work if someone has a relapse? They're not arrested necessarily. Well, I don't know. How do you address the relapse?
So we have rules to the program, and if you break a rule, you face a sanction. Those sanctions can be progressive, and those sanctions can include everything up to including a night in jail. So certainly the biggest thing is that we offer a carrot for this program. You do the work in this program, you get a lowered plea of a wet reckless rather than having a DUI in your record. And that alone is just so moving for people. It's helped people keep their jobs. It's helped people, you know, work forward on their, you know, with their relationships with their families. And, you know, honestly, they're better people on the other side. But if they fail out of our program, they're going to have a DUI on their record. And so between the sanctions and the threat of a DUI, I think is what really keeps people motivated in the program.
Could the program be expanded for other civil disagreements? Well, not the DUI is a civil disagreement, but for other things like domestic violence.
So we are looking at at expanding our court and having a DV program. We're just in the midst of hiring a probation officer so that we can have that component to be a successful DV program. But we are going to be launching that later this year.
let's talk about domestic violence. Unfortunately, this is an area that you're seeing far too much of in your particular court.
Yeah, I wish I had something different to say here, Bill, but I mean, we've seen DV cases go up by nearly doubled in the last few years. And more importantly, the severity of these cases are just this side of not being felonies. I mean, they are very troubling kind of cases. And so we are, attacking the program head on by creating a new program and trying to bring in a probation officer, which we never had before, so we can offer supervised probation so that they can get the help and the supervision they need to, you know, really try to stop this cycle of violence.
And there's far too many, and it's a case where you have to do it sometimes, of restraining orders.
Yeah. No, we see orders of protection and restraining orders every week in Green Valley. It's something that's very common for our justice court, and so we see that fairly frequently.
What do you think? Just your personal opinion on where it's coming from. I have my opinion. The anger that we see in society has got to be a contributing factor.
I have tried to listen and to be empathetic, and when I've been hearing these cases and. The reasons are so varied. I've never quite come up with a good consensus as to why we see so many of them, but sometimes people just can't get along.
On the other side of the coin, there are some wonderful things going on, like free weddings that you all are doing, and Judge Carroll's.
I want to talk about those.
Yeah,
I do want to talk about those, but I do want to talk about the fact that we have launched a mediation court too.
Okay.
So as we've talked about
mediation,
as we've talked about people not getting along, we've offered mediation so that it doesn't have to go to orders of protection. It
like
have
neighbors
to
fighting.
Or civil disagreements,
sure.
You know, a dispute about a civil lawsuit. So you can have a moment where they find, through the court's help, a common ground and come to a resolution without having to involve a judge. But certainly, you know, those could be used for those kind of things to turn into orders of protection as well. So we, you know, five of our staffers are trained mediators now, including myself. Mm-hmm. I did two last week, and so you know it's something that we're trying to expand. And we've gotten a great community grant to expand our program and have a little area where we can have those mediations outside of a courtroom setting that's hopefully more formal. But back to your question, once a month we do free wedding Fridays. We do them the second Friday of every month in Green Valley. As long as you got your wedding license, come on down. We set a record last week. We had more than 40 people there to see their friends and family get weddings for, I believe it was 7 different couples.
Mm.
So, you know, we had to actually have some people wait in the lobby because they filled the courtroom.
So you actually now are a trained mediator?
Yep, the state.
How did that work? I mean, what kind of a course do you take?
So the State Attorney General's Office offers a training. And so I took a several-day class. There's a 3-day class and there's a 5-day class. And you go through that. You spend the entire time learning the basics of the mediation and how to work it and how to find commonalities and how to make sure that your language, you know, helps bridge people together. And so it's, you know, a great tool set. We've also have a number of community volunteers that have gone through the same training that also are part of our court and come in regularly to mediate disputes.
Speaking with Joe Ferguson, who is the Deputy Court Administrator in Green Valley Justice Court. So when you have the mediation session, say you had two neighbors who are fighting over, I don't know, something about a hedge, or one person doesn't like the way the hedge needs to be cut, or what, it could be anything.
Sure.
Neighbors fighting. So what do? You sit the two neighbors down in a conference room, and then how do you get them to agree on something?
We talk about what the issue is, and we talk about what they would like to see happen next, and talk about resolutions and see if there's a common ground, because you know, you could go before a judge and the judge could rule against you and then you don't get anything you want, or the judge will rule in your favor and you get everything you want. But that's a roll of the dice at some level. And so at least when you're at mediation, you have control and the ability to find common grounds on maybe you'll cut the hedges half the height that you want them to, so that you know, you don't have to take this any further, that you can find a way to work with your neighbor and to resolve these things without having a court order being involved.
Getting back to DUI treatment court, is AA involved?
Absolutely. Okay. They are one of our big partners.
Okay.
We ask everybody to attend AA meetings every week, mm-hmm. and I get their certificates in. We absolutely have people who, you know, are going online, so people are going in person, but you know, you could go to an AA meeting at any time of the day, anywhere in the world at this point because of how our society's changed. And so, you know, you can find a group, whether they are across the street or across the world.
All right. Sounds good. Let's see how this program expands. I hope it does.
Love to come back and tell you the good news in a couple months.
That'd be great. Joe Ferguson, good luck with the Green Valley DUI court and the other things that you all are involved with Judge Carroll and your team down there. Joe, always a pleasure seeing you.
Thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.
All right. Our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe and his team do an absolutely fabulous job, not just framing beautiful things. I've got a ton of Moe's stuff in my home, but I like the fact that he'll come out and make sure it goes up on the wall the way you want it. Their website looks good, too, moesgallerian.com. And again, they're located right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. All right, midway point of the Buckmaster Show in the middle of June. We'll be right back.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Middle of June as we wait for, well, might get some rain this weekend. 20 to 30% chance of a stray thunderstorm. Normally the beginning of the monsoon, at least it's been that way the past couple of monsoon seasons, have just not been kind to the Buckmaster Bungalow, losing trees. And I kind of have mixed feelings about getting a little bit worried about the monsoon after what happened last summer. But hopefully we won't have any major damage like we have had the last couple of summers up at our home. And our plants did not fare well with some of those hailstorms. We had like two hailstorms in 10 days last July. But anyway, they're ready over at Green Things to put some, they'll not only point you in the right direction, they will take you to the place on their 13-acre site where they have plants that not only will like the heat, but will thrive in the heat and then getting a little rain. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Their website is Green Things AZ. Their sister business is called Zocalo Village, and they have wonderful imported items from Mexico and really items from all over the world. The website for that is zocalovillage.com, Green Things, in their 53rd year of business. I like very much the owners, Jan and Jack, very hands-on people, and it's a good business. And I know a lot of people in this town love Green Things, and rightly so. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. State lawmakers look like they finally passed a budget, not a lot of time to spare with the fiscal year ending in a couple of weeks. That happened basically over the weekend. Arizona has gone from a budget surplus of over $4 billion to a deficit of around $1.5 billion due largely to income tax cuts that were passed by the legislature in 2021. I was curious how this may affect Pima County. Dr. Matt Hines, the supervisor, Democrat supervisor representing District 2, had been scheduled to be with us. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it, but we do have David Higuera with us on the live line. David is Matt's chief of staff. David, how are you?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Tell me, what are you thinking about how these budget cuts are going to affect Pima County?
Yeah, well, first, I just want to underscore what you just said, because it's mind-boggling, these numbers. The state of Arizona just 2 years ago had a $4 billion surplus, and now 2 years later, a $1.5 billion shortfall. And as Tim Steller pointed out in his article this weekend, you know, 95% of that could be traced back to the passage in 2021 of the flat tax. We used to have a progressive income tax in this state. If you make more, you pay a little bit more. I think the top rate was 4.5%, and now everybody pays 2.5%. So the vast majority of people who benefited from that tax cut are individuals who make more than $200,000 or families that make more than $400,000. That's where most of those tax savings went, and in the meantime, now we have this huge deficit. So I think there will be impacts to the county. We're still looking at the budget that was passed this weekend to see exactly which additional state cost shifts are going to be coming our way, but we know if past is prologue, they're in there. As of today, before this most recent state budget passed, we already have about $121 million every year that county taxpayers pay for in our local property taxes for services that used to be provided by the state of Arizona, but have been shifted over the years. So many administrations have done it. It's only continuing, and it's gotten a lot worse now that the Republican legislature in the form of Governor Ducey passed the flat tax. I mean, that really means that we're in for a painful period of time that probably will be a number of fiscal years.
I don't understand these cost shifts, and I know they've been going on forever, but how there's no accountability on they can just move this these shifts and nobody can really do anything about it. That's kind of what I interpret.
Well, it's you know, when you look at them individually, you'll see exactly how legislatures and governors in the past have done this, and that is, you know, you look at things like the Superior Courts. The Superior Courts are officially a branch of the Arizona Supreme Court, but they are of each county, and so their budgets are shared by the state and the counties. What's happened over the last decade is the counties have had to take on more and more of the costs of the Superior Courts that used to be paid for largely through the state general fund. Juvenile courts, same thing. You look at the Arizona long-term care system that allows for health benefits for elderly folks and folks who need long-term care services. That used to be covered entirely by the state. Now the county covers something like $60 million a year, $50 million a year towards long-term care systems. So, you know, it's program by program, and it's, you know, a lot of sleight of hand at the legislature over the years so that the Republican majorities up there could say we balanced our budget. But really, and they, by the way, you know, 31 of the last 32 years, they've cut taxes or increased tax credits every single year. And so while they keep cutting taxes and then claiming that they've balanced the budget, they haven't balanced the budget. They've just put it on localities to somehow make it work. And our choices are either cut local services and eat the shift or add the shift to local property taxes and let the property taxpayers know this much of your tax bill is actually because of the state and what they used to cover.
All right. So we have a budget that will be our local budget. Pima County's budget will be finalized tomorrow. What do you think? What do you and Supervisor Hines think of this spending plan?
So Supervisor Hines said at the May meeting when they were approving the tentative budget, which is sort of the first step, and then there's this final budget tomorrow. You know, he said back in May, like, hey, guys, we need to increase our local tax rate a smidge, 10 cents, which would have cost the average homeowner about $22 on the year or less than $2 a month, but would have raised $11 million for our general fund to help cover some of these areas that are pretty tight. I mean, there's no fat left in this budget whatsoever. Our FTEs are below where they used to be, you know, and so he wasn't able to get majority support from his colleagues to increase the tax rate by 10 cents. So the tax rate stays flat, essentially. The combined primary and secondary tax rates stay the same as they were this past year. And what that means is that we're working with an incredibly small contingency fund, and we're just hoping that, you know, inflationary costs of years past don't rear their heads again, that we have moderate inflation as currently looks to be the case throughout the next fiscal year. But it really, really means that we're right at the edge. And you know, as Administrator Lesher will say, this is what keeps her up at night, because there's no fat left anywhere in this budget. It's right on the edge of dollar in, dollar out, to make sure that we can provide the basic county services that our residents rely on.
Affordable housing is such a big issue, and there's an agreement that will come up tomorrow that the Board of Supervisors, Tucson, the city of Tucson, and the county reworking their agreement for a shelter that helps people facing eviction. It's the former Knights Inn that was set up over on Craycroft. Does this seem like a fairly good deal to you, David Higuera?
It's a very good deal. It's a great example of the partnerships that have been going on these last 3.5 years between the city and the county, as we've had this new Board of Supervisors and the new mayor at the city, and just a lot of cooperation that didn't always used to exist in years prior. But yeah, it's a great partnership between the city and the county, and it means that, and it frankly came out of the program that Supervisor Hines fought for early in 2021 to see if we could provide any kind of legal support to people who are facing eviction, because if you look at the statistics, you know, 99 times out of 100, the defendant, the tenant, had no legal representation whatsoever, and of course lost all of those cases. And so out of that came what's called the EELS program, which is Emergency Eviction Legal Services, where people can get help if they're facing eviction or might be facing eviction. And out of EELS, the county created this program for emergency temporary housing for folks who despite our best efforts, still end up being evicted. And that's what's happening at the Craycraft that you mentioned. And it is really, really a lifeline. And it's not permanent housing, but it does keep people off the street. And it's a major reason why we haven't seen homelessness get even worse since the pandemic, because it's allowed people who were just evicted to land in a hotel room instead of on the street while they figure out their next steps. And we provide wraparound services to help them land on their feet.
Because many of these people, David, as you know, are just one step away from living in their car, and you don't want to do that any time of year, but especially in the summer. It's a very sad situation, but more and more of these people are facing eviction.
Well, and this is just it. I mean, I was just reading an article in The Atlantic this weekend about this. You know, people are all upset about the cost of Big Macs and the cost of the grocery store. And, of course, we're reminded every single day when we go to the grocery store that the prices are, in fact, 20% higher than they were 4 years ago. But the three major drivers that's causing people to be insecure today across America are rent, childcare, and health care. And this is a big deal. Rent is a huge, huge deal. It's why Supervisor Hines is fighting as hard as he can to increase the amount that we allocate every year to affordable housing development and affordable housing preservation. The majority of the board, including Supervisor Hines, has made sure that these last 3 years we've devoted $15 million to that. But that's, as he has said numerous times, a drop in the bucket compared to the need. We need to increase the amount of funding for affordable housing development and preservation. We need to make sure that apartments today that are affordable today under 30-year covenants don't flip to market rate because there was no money to help renovate to get them into another 30 years of affordability. So those are all things that we're working through with our Affordable Housing our Affordable Housing Commission. They have been really strong leaders on this issue. And most recently at their May meeting, they said they want the board to do what Supervisor Hines suggested, which is look for a permanent funding source that would get us to the point of not $5 million a year, but $10 million a year to devote towards affordable housing development and preservation. And now that's in the lap of the county administrator and our legal team to do just that, is come back to the board as Supervisor Hines wanted and suggested. They come back to the board in the fall and say, here are some options that are on the table. Here's the pros and cons. Here's the legal ramifications. Different options on the table for permanent funding sources that would allow us to allocate at least $10 million a year towards affordable housing preservation and construction. And this is not just a Tucson problem or a Pima County problem. I mean, since the Great Recession, you saw construction of new housing fall off a cliff. Remember, that was the day of foreclosures everywhere, so there wasn't the market to build new. But the trouble is, for the next decade, we just didn't build nearly enough housing. So what we have today is a very basic supply and demand problem. It's also why Supervisor Hines fought for and successfully got a change to our zoning code so that we now have the ability for people to build apartments by right in commercially zoned properties along major arterials. That just passed. That should be a huge, huge boost towards the ability to build multifamily housing with much less red tape. And there's all other things that we continue to look at on that front.
All right. I want to talk with you after we take the break, David Higuera, about health care. We'll be right back. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Monday. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years.
Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This time of year, we send so many of our listeners over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And why not? It's cooler over there. We like to say it's going to be 10 degrees at least cooler, and that's because of the elevation in Silver City. It's 88 over there right now. That's not bad. Upper 80s for their midday temperatures. Over in that beautiful corner of the Land of Enchantment. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning now. A lot of outdoor activities like the Gila National Wilderness right at your doorstep in Silver City. And did I say, and I mentioned, it's only 3-hour drive, which isn't bad at all to get over and cool off over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. David Higuera is with us. He's chief of staff for District 2, Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines. And we have a healthcare crisis, Dr. Higuera. Mr. Higuera, I was thinking of Dr. Hines and thinking of healthcare, and we do have a healthcare crisis. Nearly 140 million Americans visited a hospital emergency room last year, and of those, only about 13% were admitted to the hospital. So what do you have? You've got lots of people who don't have a doctor, a primary care doc. They wind up in the emergency room. And I'm wondering, is it time to have a health district in Pima County, David Higuera?
I'm so glad you brought this up, Bill, because this is something Supervisor Hines is really, really adamant that we need to do. And so we've been working with the administration and the legal team at PCAO to investigate how other counties are doing this. Maricopa County, as a matter of fact, has a health district passed by their voters that helps pay for costs of preventive health care to keep people out of the emergency room. You know, as Supervisor Hines has noted many times at the dais, when people show up in the emergency room, which he sees when he's there on his nightly shifts, that is the most expensive way we could possibly provide health care, period. And that's how we all too often provide health care to people in the United States. And it is hugely inefficient. It is hugely expensive. And it is hugely wasteful. But like you said, the reason people are showing up in the emergency room for non-emergencies is because of a lack of access to affordable, accessible preventive health care. So, yes, we want to look into a health district, early stages of research on that, but something that Supervisor Hines will be talking more about in the days and weeks to come, because if this is something that would allow us to bring down costs or at least keep a lid on rising costs in healthcare, then we can actually achieve greater accessibility for more members of our community so that more people take care of their health preventatively, proactively, and don't end up in acute situations.
How does the Maricopa County program work? Do you know about that one?
I don't know a lot of details, Bill, yet. We're just, you know, I'm starting to investigate it. Supervisor Hines knows more about it, but this is all new area to me. But yes, it's some kind of a taxing, special taxing district that was passed by the voters that ends up being, you know, a nominal amount of pennies to each voter, but adds up to real money in terms of health care provision across the county.
Is there continued support in this current budget that the supervisors will be passing tomorrow for early childhood education?
Yes, that continues to have strong majority support on this Board of Supervisors, including Supervisor Hines. You know, as I mentioned earlier, these are the three leading causes of people's financial insecurity today, right? Housing, healthcare, and childcare. And childcare costs are just astronomical, and yet childcare workers get paid not even a living wage. It's because, of course, you need a lot of staff in each childcare classroom. But it's an unaffordable cost for too many families, which means too many 3 and 4 year olds and young 5 year olds who aren't yet five by September, who aren't yet in kindergarten, just don't have access to affordable quality childcare. So Pima County is entering our third year now, completing our third year of PEEPS, the program that Matt voted for along with Supervisor Scott and Supervisor Grijalva to get started in 2021. We're providing nearly 1,800 scholarships this year to families with 3 and 4 year olds to access quality early childhood education at affordable prices. It's been a game changer for those families, but there's still a number of families who don't yet have access. And so this is a program that we need to continue to fund and grow. And thankfully, we're working on the long-term funding for that through the library district, which allows us to focus on early childhood education as part of the statutorily mandated areas that a library district can pay for.
Supervisor Grijalva wants to update the rules of decorum at the supervisors' meetings. You're at those meetings. Do you think that that's necessary again?
I mean, unfortunately, I think what we're seeing is a drumbeat of histrionics and you know, people just looking to have their own TikTok moment or YouTube moment at public meetings. I mean, this is not just Pima County. This is literally every city and county government and school board across the country is facing this right now. So it's fine. You know, people have a right to speak. People have their right to be heard. But when people start crossing a line into threatening behavior, people rushing the dais, as has happened in other jurisdictions, those kinds of things are not okay. We can't have a situation where people are not safe at a public meeting. And so I think that's what Supervisor Grijalva wants to talk more about. I'll learn more along with you when she raises the topic tomorrow. But I think as we approach a highly polarized, partisan November election, you know, she's trying to get out ahead of making sure that that room stays safe for all participants for every minute of every public meeting.
Yeah, because people showing up, sometimes kids come. You have to have some control in that audience, over that audience.
I mean, we can't. It's unfortunate, but and Matt would say this too. Under Donald Trump, the notion of political violence and threats of violence has somehow been normalized as just the way we do politics. That's not how it should be. That's not how it will be in Pima County, jurisdiction. And so that's, I think, what we need to make sure that we're out ahead of and not allowing things to devolve to a place where any kind of political violence has any sort of tolerance in our community. It doesn't.
All right. David Higuera, the chief of staff for Dr. Matt Hines, supervisor, Democrat in District Number 2. Thank you very much, David.
Thanks, Bill. Have a good day.
All right. David Higuera with us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, as we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, wrapping up our Monday edition. And coming up tomorrow, we have Dr. George Hammond is going to be with us, the University of Arizona economic forecaster. Will get his take on how things are looking for the first 6 months of the year. Can't believe that we're already 6 months, halfway point of 2024. Of course, Shelley Fishman will be with us, and University of Arizona climate scientist Dr. Zach Guido, very serendipitous to have him on kind of for the pre-monsoon report as we begin to wait for the rain to arrive. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of John and the whole team here at the Buckmaster Show and Bustos Media, hope you have a great afternoon.